County Bill.
Yeah. Open a work session on House Bill 2521. Ed's been some time since you heard this. Do you want to bring us up to date?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. House Bill 2521 creates an income tax scholarship provided by employers for their employees. Credit is calculated as 50% of scholarships funded up to $50,000 per employer per year with a 5-year carry forward period. The program requires certification of each employer's scholarship program and credit amount by the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. There are -1 amendments which were introduced, or at least discussed last time, which limit the eligibility only to employers with between 4 and 250 employees. In addition, the bill directs the commission to adopt rules determining eligibility and the program details, and also places a $1 million cap on the total amount of credits that can be certified by the commission in any given calendar year. There's also a $1 million cap on the total amount of credit that any single employer can be certified for. Credit would be available beginning the 2002 tax year.
Okay. And would you go over the, did you mention, after I was writing the revenue, did you mention the revenue impact?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the revenue impact that is listed there takes into account that the bill includes a cap on the total amount of credit that would be allowed. I don't have a good way of knowing what the actual utilization of this program would likely to be. We don't have anything like it in, under current law. So I've hedged my revenue impact estimate by saying that the impact would be no more than the amounts shown in the table below, namely in the 0103 biennium, a $1 million potential revenue impact because it would be effective only for 1 year during that biennium. And for the 03 and 05, 03 to 05 and 05 to 07 biennium, up to $2 million total impact in each of those biennia.
And for committee members, just to refresh you, it's been a long time. We heard testimony from Representative Haas, who is the chief sponsor of the bill, Cheryl Kirchhoff, from the Student Assistant Commission, Louise McGarry from McGarry Machine, Gary Carlson and Julie Brandis from AOI, John Wyckoff from Oregon Student Association, Mike Sherlock from PATA. What's that?
Petroleum. Yeah, it's the Petroleum Marketers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Johnny Lake. All the testimony was favorable to the bill.
And what is? Pacific Automotive Trade Association.
Pacific Automotive Trade Association.
Okay, there you go.
Another group that got this. Yeah. That
they, there you go.
Benefit from that, or the employers could benefit from that. Children of employers. Well, Representative Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I talked to Representative Westland about this, and he believes that it's a good private public partnership that will help put some more money into higher education. And he encouraged me to try to get this to him or to the floor, and he hoped that it could get funded. And if not funded, he said he would make sure that it's the cap that zeroed out and passed that way at the very least, so that the Student Assistance Commission could at least start developing some rules, maybe shake out some bugs, so that in the future, if the legislature chose to put some money here, that it have a full tank and the keys in the ignition.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
Does this bill have a referral to Ways and Means?
I was just looking for that.
I don't know why it would.
I don't think it does. Technically, it doesn't require an appropriation. It's a revenue bill. I think I had discussed with Representative Haas a way to keep the bill alive. Might be at least a referral to Ways and Means, but as I'm looking at this in preparation for the hearing today and looking at the lineup of witnesses all favorable to this and the array of co-sponsors of this thing, I'm sort of inclined, just thinking on the fly here, to suggest that if the committee likes the policy of this, that we go ahead and move this to the floor, and this would join the other tax credits that are crossing back and forth between House and Senate, and we can balance those out just as easily that way, I think, as through the Ways and Means process. Representative Witt?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that assessment. I mean, there's no, I don't see any fiscal impact here that would require this to go to Ways and Means. I did have a couple questions that maybe Representative Hess could respond to, though, in looking at this bill yesterday. Representative, must all the employees be based in Oregon? I don't see anything here that indicates that they have to be. It simply says that the employer has to employ between 4 and 250
right.
employees.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, no. There are some timber companies, for example, who are already in this, based in Oregon, but who have mills in Montana. But it's basically anybody who pays Oregon income tax,
okay.
because that's where the credits would be applied to.
Okay, thank you. If I can follow up, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Representative, would scholarships apply only to Oregon employees and dependents, or any employee/dependent, wherever that employee may be living? For example, the case I just talked about, you may have a small number of people in Oregon, a lot of people in California. Would scholarships for dependents of employees in California qualify for the credit?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, that gets into the criteria by which the company, the employer, can establish a scholarship. And some of those rules would be set up by the commission. But my intent is essentially yes. That this is a way to help employees that work for an Oregon company that is an Oregon company to the extent that they pay state income taxes,
irrespective of where that employee or the employee's dependents reside.
Yeah.
And if I can follow up, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman,
mm-hmm.
Will scholarships under this program, would they be available to all certified schools in Oregon and outside of the state of Oregon, as you would understand the way the bill would work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, yes, they would, as long as they're accredited.
Okay, then if I can follow up again, Mr. Chair.
You may.
Representative, what would keep an employer from using this program as a 50% reduction in the cost of education for the dependents of the employer?
That is exactly why the Student Assistance Commission, Mr. Chair, Representative mm-hmm. Witt, administers it. That is one of the rules that they will say that they will use to protect against just that occurrence. For example, I do have a scholarship, a very small one, through the Students Assistance Commission, and that's one of the safeguards in there, so that my friends and their kids don't get any preferential treatment. And those are the kind of safeguards that are built into these scholarships set up by the Student Assistance Commission. They administer thousands of private scholarships and public scholarships, and they have figured out a lot of this kind of, a lot of the verbiage to protect against abuse and sort of, I guess I would say, to do the right thing when it comes to making decisions about who receives a scholarship.
Representative Witt, I'm looking forward in the written testimony. I don't have it. But my recollection was that that's also there are also limitations under federal tax law as to that kind of just that situation that limit the availability of the federal credit, and that the Student Assistance Commission drafts their rules so that these comply with those federal tax code requirements as well. That was my recollection. Does that sound familiar? Some head shaking from that gallery. Further discussion. Well, we're in work session, Representative Ass.
The amendment.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move the -1 amendment.
Okay, Representative Hass moves the -1 amendment to House Bill 2521. Representative Hass, this is the one that I think is. Ed indicated limits the scholarship, the credit to employers of between 4 and 250 employees.
That's correct.
Okay.
The idea, Mr. Chair, was to keep Nikes and Intels of the world from swamping this program
some of those companies have foundations larger than the Oregon State budget and stuff.
Okay. Discussion on the dash one amendments. Any objection? Okay, we are in. Representative Hass.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2521 with a due pass recommendation to the House floor.
Representative Hass moves House Bill 2521 as amended by the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion on the bill?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Witt.
The credit runs to the employer. Question: if the employer is a proprietor, not a corporation, should we assume then that the credit runs to the individual tax return of the employer slash proprietor?
I would think that's got to be the case. Ed, do you know offhand?
Mr. Chair, members, and fairly certain that is the intention of it and how it would work. Right. Taxes, credit against taxes, otherwise due under ORS Chapter 316, that's personal income taxes. Okay. Or if the taxpayer is a corporation under ORS Chapter 317 or 318, okay, the corporate income and corporate excise tax statutes.
So we've got them covered.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anything else? All right, please call the roll, John.
Representative Fay.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Franklin.
Excused.
Corey.
Aye.
Chair Shadman.
Aye. House Bill 2521 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Hass. Well, too. Thought you might.
Good deal.
Anybody here on House Bill 2780? Nobody's here on House Bill 2780. Okay. Going once, going twice, so we'll go a couple more times. Representative Carlson wanted to be here on 2863. Let's stand in recess for just a minute until we get Representatives Witt and Williams back in before we go in on 3942. I want to make sure they're back in on that. So we'll be in recess for just a minute.